gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, and can be found on page 109 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. So many times in the culture of the day, we trivialize what Jesus commands us to do. Did you guys hear that? We trivialize what Jesus commands us to do. Most of you, if you think about it, Jesus isn't about delivering commandments. He comes to fulfill the commandment of the Father, whether it's the Exodus, Ten Commandments, all of which articulate a way in which we're to be in a relationship with God, to have no other God, to not take his name in vain. And then how the other six are how we deal in relationship with our brothers and sisters. Thou shalt not kill. Bear false witness. Commit adultery. Those are ways in which we can live our lives in a right relationship with the Creator and the right relationship with our brothers and sisters. Jesus is all about doing and fulfilling what God set up for us in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, which we all know who messed that up. And don't say Eve did it, okay? Adam was an equal participant. And that's not a very good excuse. It may be true, but it's not an excuse. But what is it that Jesus wants us, and in the Gospel of John, what is it that Jesus is telling his disciples? Now, that's the audience. Remember, last week we were talking about the first 1 through 8 in chapter 15. Abide in him. He was talking about a vine. God was the vine, or Jesus is the vine, and God's the vine grower, and that we are the limbs, and we're supposed to bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, he'll cut us off. We'll be pruned off of the vine. And if we do bear fruit, he's going to prune us so that we'll bear more fruit. What's God's purpose? So that we bear fruit. How many of you have seen a Bradford pear tree? How many of you have had a Bradford pear? A Bradford pear. A Bradford pear tree doesn't have fruit. The only fruit you're going to get off a Bradford pear tree is what? The flowers? The shade? Now, that's not to say that everything that we call fruit, apples, I think tomatoes are actually a fruit. and they grow on a vine. But the point is that as He created the earth and all of creation, so He created you and I. You and me, as Terry would tell me and correct me. But He created us for a purpose. What do you think that purpose is? Live long and prosper? I mean, it's a great line for Spock. But what does He want us to do? Okay. He wants us to share the gospel. That's a commandment. Go ye into the world and preach my gospel. To whom? Just certain people? No, everybody. Go into the world and preach my gospel to everyone. Jesus, in these verses that we have today, verses 9 through 17, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved in you. Abide in my love. Just as He tells us in verses 1 through 8 that we're supposed to abide in Him, and in doing that, we know that we're supposed to be abiding in the Word of God, so He tells us to abide in His love. That's a pretty tall measure. How can you and I abide in Christ's love? How can you and I even scratch the surface of the depth and breadth of Christ's love for us? He goes to the cross for you and for me. Jesus tells him in verse 9, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. He's telling us this for a purpose, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He's wrapping us in Him. He tells us to abide in Him and abide also in His love. And let Him abide in us and His love abide in us. Why? Because you and I have met people that we find it pretty hard to love. Right? I mean, there's nobody here that you find hard to love, right? We all love each other here. This is easy, right? Seriously. I mean, that's not just a piece of humor. He tells us to love one another. He didn't exclude anybody from that group. He tells us to love one another. How? As He has loved us. This is a contemporary artist in the 80s. The guy's name is Don Francisco. And one of the songs that I really just grew up loving was, love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Love is not just something you feel. Love is not just something, oh gosh, I'm just in love. You know, you're 18 years old, she's 18. You guys are just like in love, right? All right, yeah. Well, okay, somebody said that other piece, you know. Because think about it, love, the Greek word, agapeo, is the higher love. But what's another love? Eros, the physical. Brotherly love, phileo. And there are some others. I think there are five. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dick. I think there's like five different Greek words for different types of love. Family love, brotherly love, physical love, and the higher love, agapeo. That's the love that Jesus is calling us to live into and to be part of and to have abide in us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, what does that look like? Yesterday morning, we had 27 families come and receive food from a mobile food pantry. Well, actually, we had, we had 15 families come and receive. Our people went and delivered to 12 other people. All right, so my math is really messed up now. I don't know if I can do that. Now I got 13 instead of 12. But anyway, in any event, a good number of people were demonstrated what? Love. Love is compassion. Love is an ability or a willingness to do something for someone else, not expecting anything in return. Because if you are expecting something in return, what is that? That's called a return on service or a return on investment. You know, a barter system. I'll give you some of this if you'll give me some of that. I mean, this is an agricultural area, so I know that existed for a long time. Lots of different crops, and people would trade things. But love, true love, is when we give, not expecting anything in return. That's love. If you charge somebody for something, that's a service. If you're doing something for someone because they're going to pay you, that's work. That's labor. But when you give to other people who don't have, because you do have, or if you partnership with an organization that does have, and you extend those services to other people, that's love. That's compassion. That's an activity. The song that we sang, how do they know that we're Christians? What's the line in the word? By what? All right, so how do they know? Oh, we just are filled with love in here. We sing about it all the time. No, love is what you're doing. Love is an activity. Love is an action. Yes, we can talk about it. Yes, we can explain it. Yes, we can articulate it. But the most powerful piece of love is when we do it. The commandment that you love one another as I have loved you is followed immediately with no greater. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Again, Jesus is demonstrating to them the extent to which he calls us to love one another. He doesn't tell us to, you know, I'm only going to do that for somebody that I like, or a daughter, or a son, or a brother, or a sister, or a parent, or somebody who's related to us. Sometimes the person that we least like. They're so different from us, and yet we're called to love them. You are my friends if you do what I command. The other part here is, when he tells them that he no longer calls them servants. One of the translations for servant is slave or hired help. He's talking to his disciples. They're no longer servants. They're called what? Friends. The servant and the slave don't know what the master has planned. The slave or the servant just does what the master tells them to do, commands them to do. But what Jesus is telling his disciples, and that means all of us, I am south of the Mason-Dixon line, so it's all y'all, is to love one another as he has loved us. Now, we may not fully understand it. The disciples didn't either. They didn't even fully understand it after he was crucified and after his resurrection. It's only at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit pours out on them, that they get an inkling of an understanding. And the rest of us are going to be living from our baptism to the day we arrive in the kingdom of heaven, and we see the Master and all those questions you have for him. You know, all those questions is like, why did this happen? Why did that happen? You may be able to still ask the question, or you may get there and the question doesn't even need to be asked because it doesn't matter anymore. Because God's taking care of it. He calls us friend. He tells us that we didn't choose him. He chose us. He chose to die on the cross for us. So when we celebrate the body given, the blood shed for us in communion. And we live into that new commandment that Jesus gave to us that night. He says, love one another. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Now, the bread we have for communion is always tasty, very, very tasty. A certain person bakes this bread wonderfully. And as wonderful as this bread is, as lovely as the design is, and with as much love as this bread is prepared and baked, Christ's love is greater than that. The beauty of His sacrifice for you is greater than that. The taste of His love for you is greater than that. That's why when He tells us that we're supposed to love one another as He loved us, He sets the bar so immeasurably high and expects us to try with all our might. And then when we reach the point where we can't go any farther, we turn over to Him and say, Lord, abide in me. There are some things in life that are impossible to do by ourselves, but with Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible.